The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, turn to Luke's Gospel. And if you don't have a Bible with you, pull out the bulletin. You're going to find inside the bulletin all of the outline and the message for today. And we're going to learn how we are blessed by the Word of God, how the Word of God blesses every family. And so turn there to Luke chapter 11, and let's all stand one more time, get a little aerobics exercise this morning. We're doing a little standing today, and let's open up the Word of God. We're going to stand in reverence to God's Word this morning and make room for those folks that are still coming in there in the back, and let's look at Luke 11. Now, the good news is there's only two verses, and the bad news is that means absolutely nothing to a Baptist pastor, all right? So those of you that are thinking only two verses this morning, and but we're not going to be long, but we've got some very important truth to share with you today from two verses. And for those of you that are visiting with us today, we're in a series called Journey with Jesus, and that is a series through Luke's Gospel, verse by verse by verse, every event and every moment in the life of Christ, because we want to know Him better, and we want to know how to worship Him in the way that we should. And I think we're going to learn a lot about our Lord this morning as we read these two verses. So follow with me, Luke chapter 11. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to read verse 27, and I'll ask you to join me in reading verse 28. How's that sound? And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God. All right, let's read verse 28 again. Ready to begin? But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to hear it and help us to keep it today. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that they would hear the word today and receive the Savior. And I ask this all in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus has been busy about his Father's business. He has healed the sick. He has caused those that were demon-possessed to be set free. He has been exclaiming the truth of his deity. And in the midst of these teachings and in the midst of these miracles, in verses 27 and 28, we find a woman that just kind of shouts out something to the Lord. That was a little unusual in that culture for a woman to speak out like this. And what she's saying is somewhat of a proverbial type of a saying, a cultural greeting, if you will. And she just kind of shouts out, Blessed is the womb that bare thee. And in saying that, she had noticed the teachings of Jesus were distinctive. The power of Jesus was amazing. And so she just kind of says, Wow, you must have come from a great mother. You must have come from a great lineage. Well, the truth is, little did she know. And the fact is that while this woman was kind of throwing out a compliment to the Lord, her paradigm was very much an earthly paradigm. Her axiomatic principle here was one that really reflected a perspective of humanity and not so much the perspective of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning there's some good news in this message, because when Jesus said to her, Rather blessed are they that hear the word and keep it, he's literally saying to us this morning, it's a good thing to have a good mother, it's a good thing to come from a good lineage, but if you really want to be blessed, your family heritage isn't the only key factor. In fact, I want to illustrate it to you this way. You could come from a perfect family, not that there is any such family. I've pastored long enough to know that everybody in their family has, on their family tree, there's a few nuts swinging around, if you know what I mean. So everybody has in their family some issues. So there's no perfect family. We understand that. But if you were to take a perfect family or close to it, and that family neglected the Bible and the principles of God's Word, that's not a blessed family. You know, nationally, the Bible says, Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, you see. And so if you have a family that rejects the Bible, they're going to lose the blessing that Jesus is speaking about. On the other hand, you take a family that's an imperfect family. How many of you would testify our family is one of those kinds of families? Anybody? All right, the rest of you, there'll be an altar call right at the end of this message for you, okay? So if there's an imperfect family, but you take that family that's had its troubles and its difficulties, and you let that family immerse themselves into the Word of God, not just hearing it, but applying it and keeping it, that family is going to be a blessed family. That's what we're going to learn this morning. And that's what Jesus tells the woman. It's not all about my mother. It's all about the blessings of the Word of God. And so let's dive into this little story here and learn from it today. First of all, I want you to notice that there is a false presumption made. If you're taking notes, there's a false presumption made by this woman. And she is presuming that Jesus was sharp, a good teacher, because of his human lineage. And this was her assumption. And yet she makes some false assumptions when she makes her statement. Now I want you to see what they are. First of all, she makes a false assumption about Mary. She falsely assumes that Mary is the source of the blessing of Jesus, the source of the wisdom of Jesus. Now, not taking away from Mary, especially not on Mother's Day, the Bible says great things about Mary. We're going to see some of those in just a moment. And it's a wonderful thing to give credit to a mother. Very wonderful thing. And a lot of us try to do that as often as we can. I heard about one lady that was at the mall with her daughter, and they came back from the store, and they had been in her husband's car, and it was pretty dirty. And so they thought, you know what, let's wash this car for Dad. They washed it really good, and he came home, and they said, honey, we want you to know. She said, we washed your car, and it's really clean. We washed the windshield, and she said, I just want you to know the woman that loves you the most in this world took care of your car for you today. And he said, my mom's here? Now, fellas, it's good to honor your mom, but not in that particular kind of a way, all right? You got to keep those perspective on that today. Honor your mom, honor your wife at the same time. It's good to honor moms. But the point is, Jesus is going to put the praise and put the emphasis on the Word of God over the family relationship in that sense. She had made a false assumption about Mary. Now, the false assumption is made for a few very quick reasons. First, because Mary was not deity. Mary was not deity. You know, many people today pray to Mary and they credit the work of Jesus to Mary, and it should be just the opposite. We should pray to Jesus and credit the greatness of Mary to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so Jesus is simply saying, blessed is he that heareth the word and keepeth the word. And Mary was a wonderful and a godly woman. Luke 1:28 says, and the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Mary, as great as she was listed as being among women. That's why we do not pray to Mary. She was among women, but we pray to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Creator, as the Savior of the world. And so she had made a false assumption about the source of the blessing in Jesus' life. She also did not realize that only Jesus is sinless, only Jesus is perfect. And notice the Bible speaks of this in Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the holy, sinless Son of God. And the woman at Bethany made kind of a false assumption about who Jesus was and who Mary was. Now notice, secondly, not only is a false assumption made, but there is a flawed theology concerning Christ. Now you're going to find in this brief message today that many people have a flawed theology about Jesus. In other words, they will tell you that Jesus is a good man, he is an enlightened teacher, but they will not give credence to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And this is where the woman was. The woman at Bethany was looking at Jesus from her human perspective, but not seeing him through the lens of eternal truth. And you see, the fact is that she saw Jesus as a good man, as a good teacher, but not as the Son of God. Now, what does the Bible say about Jesus? And what was the truth this woman needed to learn? Let's look at it real quickly. Why do we emphasize Jesus Christ as God in the flesh? Why do we as a church believe in the deity of Christ? Well, first of all, Jesus in the Bible is called God. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Someone says, why do you Baptists call Jesus, why do you Christians call Jesus God? Because the Bible calls him God. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. You see, we believe in the triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they all have equal attributes of deity, and we can worship and ascribe worth to all of them. He is called God. Secondly, Jesus claimed to be Jehovah. The Bible says in John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus is the I am, and so we see him as he claims to be Jehovah. Thirdly, Jesus Christ forgave sins. Jesus Christ forgave sins. Mark chapter 2 and verse 7. "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" his critics asked. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk?" You see, Jesus had power to heal, and many were interested in that, and many were curious of that. But they did not accept the fact that he had power to forgive sin, because if they accepted that fact, they would accept that he is God, because only God can forgive sin. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the point this morning. Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, came to forgive your sin and mine. So he is called God, he claims to be Jehovah, he forgives sin, and then fourthly in the Bible, Jesus Christ was worshipped. The Bible tells us that when he came back after his death, burial, and resurrection, he presented himself unto his disciples, that one of them bowed down and worshipped him. Jesus didn't say, "Thomas, stop worshiping me." When Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," Jesus didn't say, "Don't call me God." He accepted that worship because he is God in the flesh. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2 that when the wise men came on that first Christmas season to find Jesus, the Bible says that they came to worship him. And so the woman at Bethany who said, "Blessed is the woman that bare thee, the womb that bare thee," she was speaking out to Jesus saying, "You're a good man and you must have had a good mother," but she wasn't realizing that he was the God-man who had come down to save her from her sin. She made a false presumption about Jesus Christ. But notice secondly this morning, as we continue on in this passage, we see that there is a faithful path to blessedness. And this is encouraging to me, because you might not come from a great lineage. You might not have had as great a father as someone else, or as wonderful a mother as someone else. But you can still have a blessed life in your family. My wife is in the fourth grade girls class right now, where she teaches the fourth grade girls. But she was raised in a family where her parents were not saved. She was raised in a family where her father was an alcoholic and was very unkind to her as a young person. And when she accepted Christ as her Savior as an eighth grade girl, she began to pray, "Lord, if you ever let me one day meet a Christian man, if we ever could have a Christian home, I would like to have a home like I was not able to have as a child." And she began to apply her heart to the Scripture. She began to prepare to go to a Christian college. Her dad was unsaved. He said, "You're not going to go to a Christian college. That's just not how it's going to happen." And so she went on to San Jose State for a while, and yet for another 2 years, she just prayerfully studied the Word and prayed and honored her father and honored her mother. And finally, the time came when her dad said, "You know, you've been such a good daughter. If you want to go to Bible college, go ahead and go to Bible college." And the good side to that story is I was 2 years younger than her in school, so we met. God had a plan all the time. We met in Bible college, and we were married. And my wife has been a wonderful, godly wife and mother for all of these years of our marriage. But you know why? Because she honored the Word of God with her life. She was willing to follow the Word of God. It doesn't matter what kind of a family you come from. If you put the Bible in the midst, if you obey the Word of God, it will make all the difference in your life. And so watch this faithful pathway to blessedness. Notice in verse 28, he says to this woman who didn't really understand who he was, he says, "Yea, rather." In other words, nice idea, good thought that my blessedness is from my mother. But let me tell you rather where it can come from for you. "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Now, this is reminiscent of the statement Jesus made in Luke 8:21 when he said, "My mother and my brethren are those which hear the word of God and do it." Now, what we learn here is that when we hear the word of God, we find that the Word of God becomes a faithful pathway for our family. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God." The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. And it will direct every family here into the right pathway. Now, let me tell you about the Word of God this morning. First of all, it is a revealed path. It is a revealed pathway for every family. The Bible says here in verse 28, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God. I'm glad today that God's revelation is not something that I have to wonder about, but it's something that I can know. That God has revealed His truth to us. Deuteronomy 29, 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And then look in your notes and find this verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And get an idea of how the early Christians looked at the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So when the early Christian received these letters from the apostles and prophets, they didn't look at it and go, oh, that's man's idea. They received it as it is in truth, the Word of God. And my friend, when we come to church week after week, we ought to approach the Bible as it is in truth, the Word of God. And we ought to receive it as the faithful path. And we ought to set aside our skirmishes and our problems, and we ought to say, Lord, speak to me through your Word. Reveal your path to me through your Word. It's a revealed path. Secondly, it's an illuminated path. The Bible is an illuminated path, first of all, because it's an inspired book. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Would you say just that much with me, please? Ready, begin. All Scripture is given by the Greek word for inspiration is theopneustos, which means God-breathed. And what it teaches us is that the Bible is a God-breathed book. The Bible is not a book of man's ideas or man's best antidotes, but God breathed His words into the human authors so that as the Scriptures were penned, they were not pinning their ideas, they were not pinning their thoughts or words, they were pinning the very Word of God. And it is God's Word, 2 Timothy 3:16, that is given by inspiration, that is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And when you need instruction in righteousness for your family, the Word of God is the place to go. God's Word will become the guide for your family. 2 Peter 1:21 says it this way, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, listen to this, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, I know what's taught in many secular colleges and the comparative religion classes. They kind of teach that, well, the Bible, who can trust it? All these guys just wrote down their own ideas, and it's changed so much. Let me tell you something. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And it has been preserved for us down to this day so that we can know Christ, so that we can have a pathway that we might follow, an illuminated pathway for each and every one of us. And I just want to encourage you this morning, stay in the Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. One pastor was talking to a little girl and he said, do you know what's in your Bible? Have you looked lately? And she said, oh yes, I know what's in the Bible. He said, everything that's in the Bible? She said, oh yeah, I know everything that's in my Bible. He said, really? She said, yeah, really. He said, what's in there? She said, well, there's a picture of my brother's boyfriend. There's a ticket to Shakey's Pizza. There's some dry cleaners coupons. By the way, can I just remind you, your Bible's not a filing cabinet. It's a message from God. Amen. And God wants you to open it. God wants you to study it. God wants you to be illuminated by His Word. Let me say quickly, it's a trustworthy path. It's a trustworthy path. You know, there are so many books out there on relationships, and so many books today of so-called New Age enlightenment, and so many people and so many voices. But listen to this, if you would. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which was preached by the gospel which is preached unto you. There's one thing that lasts forever, and that's the word of the Lord. And you see, those of us who know the Lord understand that what really matters is that we stand for the truth of the word of God. You know, I think this morning about Tony here, Lord willing, going on and serving in greater capacity. And I think about all of us in the capacities God gives to us. But let me tell you something. The greatest thing we can do is stand for biblical truth, because we are here for just a little while. These buildings are here for just a little while, but it is the truth of God that stands forever. And we want to stand with the Word of God and for the Word of God. It is the Word of the Lord which endureth forever. And our forefathers knew that, and we must come back to that truth today. And so there's a false presumption from this woman. She thinks, oh, Jesus, you're a great man because you came from great lineage, your mother. And that was her presumption. She didn't really know about Mary. She didn't really know about who Jesus really was. And so Jesus says, let me tell you the faithful pathway to greatness. It doesn't necessarily hinge on where you were born or who your parents were, but if you'll get right with God and the Word of God, then you can be blessed too. How many of you are thankful that the ground is level at the cross? Everybody has the opportunity to receive Jesus as their Savior. God has no favorites. He loves all of us equally today. And it's His desire that we would open up His Word and follow the pathway of righteousness. And so we see that faithful path. But I want you to see finally this morning that there is a final preservation. And here's what I mean by that. Look at the verse 28. Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of the Lord and keep it. Would you say that with me, please? And keep it. All right? So the Bible is a preserved message from God that will preserve your family in the ways of God. But there's two things we must do with it. First, we must hear the Word of God. We must hear it. Now, if you study this word hear in a concordance or Bible dictionary, you're going to find that it means to understand or to perceive the sense of. Okay? So when Jesus is speaking of hear, He's not talking about just noise. How many of you know there's tons of noise pollution in the world today? He's saying, I don't want to just be heard in the sense of the talk radio host or whatever. He says, I want you to let this sink down. I want you to understand what I'm saying to you. And let me just say this morning, when you're reading the Bible or when you're in a service like this or in a Bible class, and something's said that you hear but you don't really understand, make a note of that and ask myself or ask someone in your class or email in, but do your best to understand what's being said. No one ever becomes a Christian till they understand the significance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No one can grow in their family life till they understand the role of the husband, the wife, the children from a biblical perspective. And so Jesus says, if you want to be blessed, you need to hear the word of God. Romans 10:13 says it this way, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Would you say that verse with me? Romans 10:17. Ready to begin. So then faith cometh by hearing, and the reason it's so important to hear is that's how our faith grows. And the more Bible you have that you understand, the stronger you become as a Christian. And when you take your life and put it outside of church and outside of Bible reading, your life is going to shrivel down. You're going to find yourself in spiritual atrophy because you're not exercising yourself in the Word of God. And so Jesus said, listen, if you want to be blessed, you need to hear the Word. But then He says this at the end of the verse. He says, and keep it. And keep it. Now, the word keep means to guard or obey. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, guard my heart, Lord. That means to set a watch over it. That means to say, Lord, what I have heard and understood in my class, in my devotions, in church, help me to keep it. Help me to apply it. Help me to live it in my everyday life. And so Jesus really is offering His own beatitude. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now, you understand that a lot of people come to church and they hear some stuff And a lot of people do what this woman did. They kind of praise Jesus in a superficial way. Oh, Jesus is great. And in a superficial way. But they never let it sink down in their ears who Jesus really is. And they don't really hear his word. And they don't really obey his word. And so they have their little praise fest on Sunday morning. They have a little emotional high. And on Monday, it's the same old, same old, same old sin, same old bickering with their family, same old life, because they're not obeying what Jesus Christ said. That's why the Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. God wants us to apply our hearts unto his wisdom. Luke 8:21, he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. John 13:17, if ye know these things, happy are ye, if ye do them. And so many people today see Jesus as a great teacher. And others today worship his mother and pray to Mary. But the question is, do you realize this morning who Jesus is, the very Son of God? And do you recognize today that all of us as sinners fall short, but that Jesus Christ as the Son of God makes a way possible for us to be saved? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. Look on your notes at this last verse this morning, Galatians 4:4-5. It says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now this is what the woman wasn't getting. She saw Jesus as a great man, but she didn't see Jesus as the God-man. So look at verse 4 of Galatians 4, that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Someone says, that's impossible. None of us are here just because of a woman. Every one of us have to have a father, and that's the point. Jesus had no father save the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost, hence he is called the Son of God. His Father is the Heavenly Father. And when it says that Jesus was made of woman, it tells us that this was not like any other one that ever came to planet Earth, but Jesus Christ came. And because he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, then when he shed his blood on the cross, it was not from Adam's bloodline, but this was the Son of God. That's why the blood that he shed covers the sins of all who believe. And that's what is meant in verse 5 when it says, to redeem them. To redeem them. It means to pay for something. It means to buy it back. Listen, I owed a debt I could not pay. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. My debt was because of my sin. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. That's what I was supposed to pay. Eternity apart from God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus didn't want this woman to simply see him as a good man with a good mom. He wanted to be known as the God-man who came from heaven to save her soul. Are you worshiping Jesus as a good man, or do you know him as your Savior, as the God-man, the Savior of the world? Do you view Jesus with the paradigm of human reasoning or from the paradigm of divine worship? Have you been redeemed by his word and by his shed blood? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have heard this morning who Jesus really is. Have you ever put your faith in him as your Savior? Let's pray together.